Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible transforms and challenges our thinking. This week, we've been studying the story of how some of Jesus' first followers became messengers. They started spreading the news about what Jesus Christ had done, even at great cost to themselves. In fact, Peter had just been released from jail and then miraculously escaped from jail, I should say. And we immediately find him not running away, not hiding for his own safety, but rather out in the open at the temple, the center of religious life in Judaism, in Jerusalem. We find him there, once again, boldly proclaiming the message that got him in trouble already. Here's what happened when the authorities showed up.
And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus.
So after their escape, Peter and the others are hauled before the Sanhedrin, a ruling council of Jews, because they hadn't stopped preaching this message which they'd been told to stop preaching. They just couldn't or wouldn't stop. And you might think this would be a time to play nice, to be conciliatory, please don't throw us in jail again, leave us alone. But no, instead, Peter points the finger right at the ruling council and basically says, "You did this. You killed Jesus. Now he's risen from the dead, showed you, you were wrong." Wow, he just points the finger right at them. He doesn't back down. He doesn't, again, try to protect himself. He goes right for the jugular. It's a dangerous situation. He's not just doing this to anyone. He's doing it to a council that includes the Sadducees, a fairly recently formed ruling body of elites that had a particular responsibility for the Jewish people. Even though they were under Roman rule, the Roman Empire had come in, the Sadducees were an important, powerful, dangerous group. And here we see Peter and the others, just little people. You know, Peter was a fisherman and then a follower of an itinerant rabbi who got executed. Now we see him standing up to the powerful ruling elite of Jerusalem. Now the rulers here see what's going on and they say to Peter, "You are trying to pin this on us. You are trying to bring this man's blood upon us." They recognize what Peter's doing. He is pointing the finger at them. He is holding them responsible for what happened to Jesus. Jesus was the Messiah. The Jewish people were supposed to be waiting for him. He was supposed to be their king. He was their God come to earth in human flesh. And they didn't believe it at the time. And they supported having him killed. And Peter wants them to remember that. And he wants the crowd to remember that. The ruling council sees what's happening here. They see that public opinion could very easily turn against them. See how angry this makes them. They say, "You are trying to bring this man's blood upon us." They won't name him. They don't want to say his name. They don't want to try to promote him more. They just wish this whole thing would go away. They say, "You're bringing this man's blood upon us." They intentionally say, "This man." They've heard the claims that Jesus was more than a man, that he was God, and they want to downplay those and say, "You're bringing this man's blood upon us. We had nothing to do with it." Now, we're not going to go into all the politics of this and why this was happening and who all these people were. I just want to point out that Peter needed this message to get out. The ruling councils, the Romans, everybody wants this to stop. They want this message suppressed. But Peter can't stop and won't stop proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, also known as the gospel. In this reading, we see Peter saying, "I have to obey God, not men." There's that word again. He's reminding the Sadducees and the whole Sanhedrin, they're just men. They think Jesus is just a man. What Peter sees is a whole bunch of men claiming to pass judgment on God. They think they're God. They're acting like it anyway. Even if they are trying their best in many ways to obey God as they knew him, they were wrong, and they couldn't see it. And so Peter takes them on again. He retells the whole story again of what happened with Jesus and points the finger again. He cannot stop. He cannot stop proclaiming this message, even if he's not being very tactful about it. He can't keep this message to himself, even if it means he gets himself in serious trouble. Well, even after a dangerous argument with powerful people, the reading ended with this. "Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ, or Messiah, is Jesus." I love the way that story ends, telling us that they just kept going. This message kept growing. It went viral. People kept sharing it with others. Jesus, his followers, became apostles. And then other people started to go from house to house and tell others. This was a movement starting because people were willing to share the message. They were willing to become messengers. Well, here's a question for you to explore and discuss today. Have you met someone with a message who just couldn't stop spreading the news? How did you regard them? With annoyance, respect, or maybe a blend of both? How do you think these crowds and the ruling councils regarded Peter and his friends for doing the same? And if you think differently about them than others, why? What made them special? What made their message special? Well, have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.